Such a good opportunity to worship our Lord Jesus Christ together. And I hope the weather is going to be getting better and warmer and less snow. And I hope that we can enjoy the springtime that is yet coming. Today I would like to share with you on the topic, Grow in Spirit. And the scripture is taken from 2 Corinthians. Chapter 3, verse 18, we all reflect our Lord's glory. We who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. We all reflect our Lord's glory. We become like Christ. So we must ask, how can we transform into Christ's likeness? Verse 16, it says, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Turning to the Lord is the first step. When we seek God's grace, when we seek God's plan in our life, we look upon the guidance of our Lord. When we love God, then we will definitely grow in spirit. One time when I was preaching at this church, the chairperson prayed, and I found that it was so meaningful and it was so touching. I felt that his heart was open to God, and I found out at the end of the service that he became a believer only a short time ago for 1 year. He became a believer only in such a short time, in 1 year. But he opened his heart to God, and he grew in spirit. One time I was walking in Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan, and I saw this person moving this huge glass. And this huge glass was taller than him, bigger than him. And I was wondering, how is it possible only by one person be able to move such a huge object? And then I stopped and I observed. And actually, there was a trick that he has two suctions in his hands and holding on to that grass, and he can move that grass at ease. When we turn to God, when we are responding to God's love, therefore we will grow in spirit. God loved us, and he continues to love us. When we turn to God and love God, the Holy Spirit will move us and dwell in our hearts. Thus, we grow in spirit. Second, how can we become Christ-like and reflect God's glory when the veil is taken away? The veil refers to the law of Moses. There has always been something in legalism which causes people to miss the heart of things. But we can define this veil to a bigger picture, and that is anything between you and God. Anything that is stopping you, prohibiting you to get closer to God. And we need to take that away. When we take that away, when we take the veil away and turn to God, then we can grow in spirit. Today, what is that veil in your life? Perhaps this veil is different to you and as compared to mine. This veil in your life may be completely different from mine, but I would like to ask you to search your heart. Today, what is this veil in your life that is getting in the way between you and God? Yours and mine might be different, but we will need to search our hearts and ask, what is this veil in your heart, in your life, that is prohibiting you to get closer to God? And let me say it in such a bigger picture that this veil could be a person. This veil could be an object. This person could be an event. As long as there's something in our life that is blocking us, interfering us to get closer to God. And we need to take away that veil so that we can turn to God and grow in spirit. Once the veil is taken away, then we become Christ-like and continue to grow in spirit. Chapter 1, verse 4. Our God is the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. In this word, it talks about comfort. When we receive comfort from God, then we can go and comfort others. First, we are comforted, and then others are comforted. We are comforted by God. Others are comforted by us. Sometimes we don't understand why we are facing such difficulties and hardships in our life. Why me? Why now? Sometimes we ask questions and we question God, why? Why is it this happening in my life? Why now? Why I'm facing all this hardship? Only when we go through the valley, the deep valley with God, then we can appreciate the mountaintop joy with God more. When we face hardship and sorrow, God comforts us and we experience his presence, that deep relationship with him. And yes, we don't understand why at that moment, but the silver lining is whatever it is, we are comforted by God. We receive comfort from God, and then we share that comfort with others who are in need. If I never experience getting laid off, how can I comfort others when they are facing the same situation? If I don't know what back pain means, looks like, how can I comfort others having back pain? So with the comfort from God first, then we are more sensitive to others' people's need and be able to comfort others from our own experience. As you know that before I went into full-time ministry, I worked at a commercial bank in New York City for 12 years. And during the first 2 years of my full-time ministry, I often ask God, why? Why you have allowed me to waste 12 years in banking? Why didn't you call me into ministry and allow me to go into ministry earlier that I wasted the whole 12 years? When I look at other colleagues, when I look at other ministers and pastors, and they often share, oh, I've been in ministry for 10 years. I've been in ministry for 5 years. I've been in the ministry for 20 years. And when I heard that, I felt so ashamed that, why, Lord, you allow me to waste those 12 years in banking and not calling me into ministry earlier. Actually, later on, I realized that wasn't a waste. It was not a waste at all. That was a stepping stone. God prepared me to go into ministry. Those 12 years in banking, I can experience the society. I can experience what it's like in the workplace. And when brothers and sisters share their lives with me, I can understand. I can mingle and I can pray with them. So later on, I realized that those 12 years was not a waste. And actually, I thank God for those stepping stones. In Acts 4:36, mention a person named Barnabas, which means sons of encouragement. Today, we need people in the church who are the comforters and who are the encourager. When we receive comfort from God, then we comfort others when giving the chance. Chapter 7, verse 13. In addition to our own encouragement, We were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was because his spirit has been refreshed by all of you. Paul became joyful when he saw how happy Titus was. How do we grow in spirit and reflect our Lord's glory when we see other people grow in spirit? When we see other people happy, when we see that other people are happy, we become joyful. Going back to the beginning of chapter 2, Paul said, I wrote as I did so, that when I came, I should not be distressed by those who ought to make me rejoice. I had confidence in all of you that you would share my joy. Paul's determination is to bring joy to others. In this world, it is unfortunate that people build their joy on other people's sorrow. It's unfortunate that people build their joy on other people's sadness and step on people in order to move ahead. Praise God that we can bring joy and happiness to others. Other people's joy is our joy. Other people's happiness is our happiness. We want to bring joy and happiness to other people. There is a song that takes place before the invention of electricity. In the old days at Linden, there was this profession that workers go out to the street shortly after sunset to light the lamps. The street became dark before the workers come by, but the street would be lit after the workers had come by. At the end of this song, it says, blessed are those who light the lamps. Likewise, wherever we go, let us bring light from Christ to others. Let us guide the way for others, and may we bring joy to other people. Some of you know that I have a very good appetite, and I love to eat. And often, I think I bring joy to other people, because often, many, many times, when we eat a meal together, people would say to me that, you know, Pastor Moy, I wasn't that hungry today, but when I see the way that you eat, I am so hungry now. I hope we can bring joy to others. I hope wherever we go, we bring light to the darkness. And I hope that we can motivate other people so that they can have joy. When we see other people have joy, when we see other people are happy, we should be happy for them. And that brings joy to us. And wherever we go, we bring happiness to other people instead of sadness and sorrow. So wherever we go, I hope that we become the salt and light for Christ. How do we grow in spirit? Chapter 8, verses 2 and 5. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And they did not do as what we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. Here it talks about giving. These Corinthians gave generously, and then even though when they are themselves in poverty, but first they gave themselves to God first. This is always the foundation. They gave themselves to God first, and then they would be able to give to other people. When we love the Lord, we would be able to love others. It cannot be the other way around. We cannot love others first and then love God, because our love for others and other people's love for us, it is so conditional. But God's love for us is unconditional. When we love God first, when we respond to his love first, and that is the foundation. And thus, we will be able to love others and give to others. We can help others open-hearted, and we can offer our spiritual gift, and we can offer our time, and we can offer our finances to others. So first, we love God, respond to God's love, and then we love God so dearly, and we would be able to give to others because that's what God wanted us to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And that is your holy, your spiritual act of worship. How do we grow in spirit and reflect our God, our Lord's glory? Chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. But just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. Paul saw that the Corinthians had love for him and for others. When they excel in love, they love others. And Paul praised God for that. Perhaps we can apply this in our own church. There are so many different circles in any given church. Different fellowships, different Sunday school classes, different serving areas, different age groups, and different language groups. There are so many different little circles in the church. But we don't just concern ourselves about our own circle. We concern ourselves about the whole church. As the body of Christ, even though we are in a different branches, but we fit in that one body, the body of Christ. So we don't just love the people in our own circle, but we love all others as well. Even though we are in different groups and different circles in our church, even though we go to separate Sunday school classes, perhaps we even speak the different language, but we can all fit in this body of Christ, the body of Christ, so that we concern about others as well as our own. So having a bigger picture in mind regarding our love for God and also for others. Chapter 8, verse 22. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. This brother has been proven to be zealous, that was diligent in many things and in many ways. In the past, diligent. Now, more diligent. In the future, confidence that it will be more diligent. I'm afraid that sometimes we were diligent before. We loved the Lord so much, but now, for whatever reason, we are lacking behind. And let us keep up the good work. In the past, present, and in the future, we are diligent. We know that our service will not be in vain. Our dedication to God has eternal values. Our comfort to others, our joy and love for others, all that will not be in vain. In due time, it will result in harvest. It will bear much fruits. So let us don't give up on each other. Let us have faith in God that everything that we do for him and for others, it will not be in vain. In the past, we were diligent. And in the present, we continue to strive for excellence. In the future, we know that our good work will not be in vain. and we continue and keep up our good work for him. There was this person named Robert Morrison. He ran away 3 times while growing up attending children's Sunday school. But he became Dr. Morrison later. How? Because his teacher had faith and hope in him, never gave up on him. Even though he ran away a couple of times, the teacher never gave up. The teacher always invited him back so that he can grow in the Bible. And surely later, he became God's servant, Dr. Morrison. Let us not give up on each other. Let us support and encourage one another. And more importantly, let us not lose faith in God's plan in our life. Keep up the good work and be diligent in everything that we do. Lastly, 9:6. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 13. Your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. All these verses talk about who we are and how and what we have become. When we sow more, we harvest more. We store up more. We give thanks more and we praise God more. So whatever we do, when we receive the seed from God, we go and we plant. Sometimes as a minister, I question God that how come sometimes people don't come to you? How come no matter what I do, it seems like it's meaningless? But then sometimes I do experience the seed that I have sown long time ago, and it's growing right now. And we know that whatever we do, whatever we did in the past, it would not go in vain. So when God is giving us the seed to sow, just go and sow the seed. And knowing that somehow God will water and somehow God will be responsible for the harvest. This is how we grow in spirit and reflect our Lord's glory. When we turn to God and love God, when the veil is taken away, those things that in between us and God, those things that is prohibiting us to get closer to God, when we take away those veil, those things in our life, we can turn to God and open our heart to God, and thus we can grow in spirit. When we love God, and we will learn how to love others. When we receive comfort from God, we be able to comfort others. We bring joy and happiness to others. We first give ourselves to the Lord, and then we would be able to give generously to others. When we see other people grow in spirit, we are happy for them. We don't need to be envy. We don't need to compare. We're just happy for them. We excel in love, and thus we love others. We sow more, we harvest more. Store more, give thanks more, and we praise God more. Let us continue to grow in spirit and reflect our Lord's glory. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the scripture from 2 Corinthians that once we open your word, once we read your word, we will be able to, you will be able to shine light on our life. And Father, how can we reflect our Lord's glory? How can we grow in spirit? That is, first, we respond to your love. We respond to your unending love, unending love, that we take away the veil, take away all those things that is between us and you, those things that would inhibit us to get closer to you. And when we take away those things, we can turn to you and grow in spirit. And when we are comforted by you, when whatever the trouble that we are in, we will be able to comfort others. And when we see other people are happy, we are happy for them. We are glad for them that they are happy. And when we excel in love, then we can also love others. And when we grow in the spirit, then we can truly reflect our Lord's glory. And when we sow more, we know that we would reap more. Then we will experience more harvest. Then we store more, we give thanks more, we praise more, and thus we grow in the spirit and reflect our Lord's glory in our life. And may you be with us and speak to each one of us through the Holy Spirit, so that in this coming week we dwell in how we can grow in spirit and to reflect our Lord's glory in our lives for your glory and for your kingdom. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.